Welcome and thank you for joining me today for this series in How to Be an Effective Lay Evangelist with the new DVD materials. I'm personally excited about the project that ASI, It Is Written, and many other organizations have teamed up to present for you. This material is being used by lay people around the world, and it's making an impact for thousands for Christ and the kingdom of God. Here's our purpose today. Today, we're going to look at all 26 sermons. We're going to take them segment by segment, and we're going to take each sermon and summarize it in about 12 minutes. This is going to be a real marathon, but the advantage of that is as a lay preacher, as you get ready to preach your evangelistic sermon, you can listen or watch this 12-minute segment. We're going to look at the salient points of each sermon, the significant emphasis points, but particularly I'm going to talk about the appeals in each sermon and what the purpose of that appeal is and how to lead people to Jesus Christ and an acceptance of His truth. Before we actually begin summarizing the sermons, though, I want to look at some basic principles of lay preaching and basic principles of preaching. If you are like the average layperson, you're probably a little nervous. You think about that opening night evangelistic meeting and your hands begin shaking a little bit and your knees begin knocking and you begin to perspire even thinking about it. Now I can guarantee you this, that of all the research I've done in all the medical journals, I have never read one case history of a person that was going to do the DVD and they croaked with a heart attack before from nervousness. So that should give you some real encouragement just to start. I think nervousness may not be bad, it may actually be good, because when we feel a little bit of anxious about something, it shows that we care about it. Let me assure you that you're poised on the verge of one of the most thrilling discoveries of all your life. It's the discovery of how the Lord can use you. It's the discovery of how the Holy Spirit can speak through you. It's the discovery of how God can take you as a common, ordinary layperson, and the Lord can use you to powerfully make a difference for His kingdom. Now, the materials are going to help you. You have the complete sermon materials outlined for you. So in the New Beginnings, in the DVD materials, you will notice that we have prepared for you a complete notebook of materials. In that notebook of materials, not only do you have your DVD disc, but you have the entire sermon, which means you have the full text and the graphic material here. I know of folk who've never held an evangelistic meeting before who have simply got up and read the sermons and pressed the button. And the message of God is so powerful, and the graphic material is so powerful, that hearts have been touched and lives have been changed and people have made a decision for the kingdom of God. So I've said to some, if you can read, you can be a lay evangelist. Now, there are two things that I think it's important to keep in mind that help to relieve anxiety. The first is this. When you speak, the Holy Spirit empowers your words. There is a difference between being a salesperson and being a lay evangelist. A salesperson may be effective in selling cars, but may be an absolute failure as a lay evangelist. A lay evangelist may not have sales skills, but as they read the Word of God, as the Spirit of God empowers their words, as the Spirit of God drives home those words to the heart in consecrated hearts, that lay evangelist, although they may not be a super salesperson, can be a very effective lay evangelist. So you don't have to be a salesperson, you don't have to be persuasive, you don't have to be a great speaker. You simply need to be a consecrated, committed Christian who shares God's word. Two things first. It's the Spirit that will empower your words. If you have your Bible, please take it and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's not our words that make the impact, it's the Spirit that empowers those words. 2 Corinthians, you're taking the Bible, 2 Corinthians, and you're looking here at Scripture. The Bible tells us that it is the Lord that empowers our words. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul is speaking about how God empowered his words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And he says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. So God has not called you to speak with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. So it's not how smart you are, it's not how wise you are. As a lay evangelist, as you get up and as you share God's word, the Holy Spirit promises to empower God's word to transform lives so that the power is not in you, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As a lay evangelist, as you get up before an audience, the Holy Spirit is going to touch your mind. The Holy Spirit's going to touch your lips. The Holy Spirit is going to empower your words. So first, it is the Holy Spirit that empowers. Have confidence in that. When your heart is palpitating, when beads of sweat are standing out on your forehead, when your hands are shaking, have that sense. It is God that's going to work through me. It's not what I do, it's what God does. Can you say amen to that, folks? Secondly, not only does God empower your words, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the audience. So God is empowering you in what to say, and as you say it, God is driving it home to the audience. We look there at John chapter 16 and verse 13. I am so glad that it's the Holy Spirit that empowers the audience. When I was a young preacher, I remember one night in Chicago, Illinois, Garfield Ridge. We were raising up a new church. I was preaching in the Polish American Hall, and I was preaching on the 2300 days. And I began to preach, and for some reason, I got confused. And I, 457 BC, 69 weeks, 483 years. How do you go from AC, BC to AD? I even get confused sometimes today. How do you go from BC to AD? And you know, minus one, and I was trying to figure out those dates, 27 AD, 31 AD, 1844. And I was garbling it up, and I'd go back and do it again. And boy, I was sweating through that whole sermon. I mean, it was a cold day in Chicago, and I was sweating when I was on the hot seat. Got through with the sermon. I was so disappointed. I was so discouraged. I thought, man, if these people weren't confused before my sermon, I really confused them after. I walked to greet people at the door, and a lovely Baptist couple came out, Mary and her husband, and they had two or three kids. And she shook my hand, and she said, Pastor, tonight, everything came into place. This was so clear to me. I'm convicted. We're living in the judgment hour since 1844. This was the sermon that put it all together. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You must have given me the gift of tongues, or you gave her the gift of hearing. Because as I spoke, the Holy Spirit interpreted it and took all the things that I garbled, and the Spirit of God made them plain. So as you speak, two things. First, according to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, it's the Spirit that gives power to your words. Secondly, it's the Spirit that convicts hearts. So if it's the Spirit that gives power to my words and the Spirit that convicts hearts, if that's true, what's my role as a lay preacher? What is my role? Three things. First, your role is to present truth as clearly as possible, so that there are no obstacles, so that there are no barriers. So your role is to present it as clearly as possible. How do you do that? How can you be ensured that you will do your part so God will do his part? Very practical. You go over it ahead of time before you preach it. When I was a young man learning to preach evangelistic sermons, I took my notes, and I was a student at Atlantic Union College. My wife happened to work in the gymnasium. She was not my wife yet, my wife-to-be. And I would take my sermon material, and she would give me the key to where they locked all the athletic equipment, 40, 50 basketballs in there, and I'd go preach to the basketballs. I converted many, many a basketball. And I'd preach and go over it and over it and over it. So first, your role is to make it plain. So you practice, then practice, and practice. Read it over and read it over and read it over. You don't need to memorize it, but it's important that you've gone over the material, just reading it through. Now, it will be very helpful to you if you read it through out loud. If you're going to go to the church and preach at the church, you want to take your notes and simply go there an hour, 2 hours ahead of time and read it over. Your role is to make it plain. God's role is to empower your words and convict the heart. The second principle is, in our role, first, make truth as plain as possible. Secondly, present it as lovingly as possible. There is nothing that wins people as much as a smile. Now look at two different ways that I can read a text. Let's suppose we're talking about the Bible Sabbath. I can say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or I can say, the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did I say the same words? Did I? But which words attracted you more? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. See, one words bring tension in your heart just by my demeanor. Present truth as lovingly as possible. Three principles. Here's what your role is. You want to present it as clearly as possible. Secondly, as lovingly as possible. And thirdly, the third principle is call for a decision at the end of every sermon, every presentation. Now, this is where many, many lay people feel uncomfortable. How do I call for a decision? How do I make an appeal? We'll be summarizing the sermons, but as you come to the end of the sermon, you can simply say to a person, is it clear to you that Jesus is coming soon? Would you like to raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Is it clear to you that the Bible Sabbath is the seventh day of the week? Would you like to kneel down right now and tell the Lord that if it's His truth, you want to follow it? Have you felt God calling you to be baptized? Would you like to raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to follow Jesus and be baptized? As you preach these sermons, you will see people respond. But most of all, something will happen in your heart, in your mind, in your life. I heard of a young man recently from one of the academies in North America. And as this academy decided to have a project, they decided that young people would preach these DVD sermons. They decided that young people would make appeals for Christ. And this young man preached the sermon on baptism. He came to the end of the sermon and he said, well, I should make an appeal. I think that's a good idea. I've just preached on baptism. I think I should ask if anybody's interested in my audience in following Jesus and being baptized. So he said to the audience, is this truth clear to you? Would you like to follow Jesus? Would you like to be baptized? And the audience was pretty silent. Nobody did anything. So he kind of said, well, you know, is it clear to you that baptism is by immersion? You want to follow Jesus and be baptized? Still, the audience was pretty silent. He raised his hand like this and said, you know what? I was thinking about it myself, and I've never been baptized yet, and I've just preached this sermon, and it kind of makes sense to me. I think I'll be the first one. I'm going to be baptized. People in the audience began raising their hands to join him in baptism. The most important thing that's going to happen in these sermons is what happens in your own life, what happens in your own heart. You will understand truth more clearly than you ever have before as you preach. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of these truths. And the one converted will be the preacher that's doing the preaching. And as God changes your life, He will change other lives through your proclamation, because it's the Spirit that empowers and it's the Spirit that convicts as we make truth plain. God does something in us so He can do something through us to touch others. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you've called this group of lay preachers. Thank you for that man, that woman that's watching this DVD right now. Lord, I pray that you take away the anxiety in their heart, you take away the nervousness in their life, and I pray that you enable them to be an effective proclaimer for you. Most of all, do something in them so you can do something through them. Do something to them so you can do something with them. Do something, Lord, in their life so they can be that powerful proclaimer of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.